been in a series called Deeper, and one of the ways we've been leaning in and going deeper is deeper in our discipline. And over the past few weeks or the month or so here, we've been walking through different ways to go deeper in our discipline to help us grow in our walk and relationship with Christ. 1 Timothy 4:7 says this. 1 Timothy 4:7 says this. But stay away from worthless stories that are typical of old women. Now, mama, I didn't say that. Because, mama, y'all know I love y'all. That's what the scriptures say. It says stay away from that, all right? Rather, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For the purpose of what? For the purpose of what? Stay away from all these crazy stories and all these things that's online and on social media, and everybody got something to say that's going to distract you from doing the things that God has for you. But he says, rather discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. There's something behind us being disciplined. It's godliness. God is trying to do something. He wants us to be more like him. And so we're grateful for that today. We're grateful for that today. So we're going to jump into the scripture. But one of the greatest theologians ever, Mike Tyson, said this. Discipline is doing what you hate to do, but doing it like you love it. Discipline is doing what you hate to do, but doing it like you love it. And one of the most phenomenal philosophers that I've ever heard in my life, my wife told me this. Discipline is uncomfortable, but it produces amazing results. Yeah, I've been trying to get a little bit more fit. I've been trying to work out a little bit, trying to run and walk and all that kind of, do a little exercises. And one day I was just leaning over like this, just breathing, huh? And my wife was with me. She was literally laughing at me, but she was behind me, so I couldn't see her laughing at me. But she says, hey, discipline is uncomfortable, but it produces amazing results. And I'm grateful for that, because when we discipline ourselves in certain things, God gets the glory out of that and we become better. Everybody say better. So Pastor Mike took us deeper in our discipline of communion last week. And today I want to take us a little bit deeper, if you don't mind. Say, look at your neighbor and say, can we go a little bit deeper? Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor and say, we want to do a little bit deeper today. I want you to put on your scuba suit. We're going a little bit deeper today. And if I could give you a title for this message, it would be The Discipline of Worship in Song. The Discipline of Worship in Song. And if I could give you a subtitle or a part B to that, it would be It's Time for a Praise Break. Sometimes in our lives when things are going crazy and we don't know what to do, the only thing that we can do is just throw our hands up and begin to sing to God, begin to glorify and magnify him. Because when we do that, our situation gets smaller and he becomes magnified. Sometimes you just need a praise break in your life. Look at somebody and say, I need a praise break. I need a praise break. I need a praise break. It's about to get a little crazy in here today. Come on, let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. God, we want to take this praise break right now just to say thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you are. Thank you for what you've done and what you're getting ready to do. God, we yield ourselves to you, so would you speak to us? God, there's no fancy words that I have, no rhyme or reason that I got today, God, but I pray that you would use the words that you have given to me into my heart to speak to these, your sons and your daughters. Allow the words that fall from my lips be the words that fall from your heart for us, your sons and your daughters. God, we're hungry and we're ready. So would you speak to us today, God? We desire you and only you today, God. Move me out of the way, God, but let us hear from you today as only you can speak to us. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, amen and amen. We talk about this thing called worship, and I want you to understand that we are all designed to worship. God has created us to worship him. That's your purpose in life. You say, hey, man, what is my purpose? Your purpose is to worship God. Now, you probably have a lot of other things that God wants you to do in life, but your main purpose, your single purpose is to worship him, is to give him glory and adoration, is to lean on him, is to give all that you have unto him. And when you do that, when you gather in a corporate setting in here to now lift your voices before the Lord, you're not just singing in here. What you're doing, you are joining with all of the angels. You are joining with all of the elders. You are joining with all of those who have gone before us, and they're all doing the same thing. We're just singing holy, holy, holy to the Lamb. See, moments of worship is not just songs that we sing in here. They are doing something in our hearts and in our lives and in our spirits. When you join in worship, something changes. something changes in our life. So we're going to talk a little bit about worship now. If we're going to talk about the discipline of worship in song, we got to talk about worship a little bit. So the definition of worship is to honor or show reverence for as a divine being or supernatural power, to regard with great or extravagant respect, honor, or devotion. The verb contents of that. Yeah. Extravagant respect or adoration for or devotion to an object of esteem, to ascribe worth or value to someone or something. Hear me when I tell you this now. Nudge your neighbor and say, listen to him now. Everybody is worshiping. But the $10 million question is, who are you worshiping? My Bible tells me from Genesis to Revelation, there is only one that's worthy of my worship. There is only one that's worthy of all adoration and glory. There's only one. We sing about Adonai, Elohim, Emmanuel. We begin to sing about him today. We declare his name because he is the only one that is worthy of our worship. But the problem becomes we begin to worship a lot of things in our lives. We begin to worship our spouse. We can't do nothing without them. If they move this way, we got to move this way. They will consume with them today. And if they say something, they'll crush our lives. We'll consume. We're worshiping our children. I didn't get no amens on that one right there, First Lady. Yeah. You driving all around the country from place to place, doing every AAU thing that you can possibly do, and you're trying to get them to be here and trying to get them to be there, and then they end up going to McDonald's and working, and you mad then. You'd have spent thousands upon dollars to take them all over the world to be in all of these leagues. Why? Because you're worshiping them. You couldn't do something, and so you're trying to do it through them. But the Bible tells us there is only one that is worthy of our worship, of our adoration. And so as we dive into this text today, we get to find who that is. Max Lucado says this. He says, worship is the thank you that can never be silenced. When I begin to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I begin to tell him how thankful I am for who he is and what he's done. Now, if we're going to talk about worship there, to me, there are so many aspects of worship, Pastor George. There is worship through prayer. There's worship through singing. There's worship through serving. There's worship through God's word. There's so many aspects of worship that we talk to. But in all of those aspects, there are three tenets or three pillars that I think are there. That's obedience, surrender, and sacrifice. If you're really going to worship God, there has to be a level of obedience. That means I got to do some things that I really don't want to do. If I'm really going to worship God, that means I have to surrender my will to his will. Jesus says, you know what? If it's possible, God, you take this cup. If it's not possible, I'll take it. I'm going to do your will. And then the last one, there's a sacrifice that happens in worship. For many of us, we sacrifice a lot for our kids. We sacrifice a lot for our job. We sacrifice a lot for to try to get this home and turn out and make sure we got all. We sacrifice so many things for so many, except God. But if we're really going to walk into moments of worship, we got to understand what that looks like. And so Romans 12:1 says this. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. Everybody say bodies. As a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. In other translations, it says your reasonable service. That's the minimal bar. If you are going to be a believer and a follower of Christ, I have to worship. Why? Because that's how he created me. And if I'm not, then I'm doing a disjustice to what God has given me and what he has called me to do. Psalm 22:3 says this, yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. What he's saying here is that God inhabits the praises of his what? People. When you begin to praise, when you begin to give him worship, when you begin to share with him how great he is and how powerful he is, it does something on the inside. See, when we gather for worship, we just don't sing songs. When we sing songs, we declare over ourselves and we declare over our lives that something is getting ready to take place. When we gather together, we are singing, God, we thank you for who you are and what you are. We thank you for what you're doing and how you are. And so in those moments, we get to declare some beautiful things over our lives. Hear this word over your life today. As we sing this song over to you today. Mighty warrior, great in battle, You have overcome. My defender, no contender, you've already won. And I will lift up my eyes to the hills where my help comes from. Watch this. For the Lord is my shield and my fortress. I fear no one, no one. Let the King of Glory, let the King of Glory in. Oh, oh, oh. And let the King of Glory, let the King of Glory, let the King of Glory in. Oh, oh, oh. And let the King of Glory in. Let the King of Glory, let him in, let him in, let him in. See, when we sing songs like that, we begin to declare who God is and what he is in our lives. That's why we sing songs of worship. That's why we give him adoration and praise. Because we need to be reminded, because guess what? Now some of y'all, I'm looking at y'all. Y'all look like me. I'm a dumb sheep. And so I forget that God loves me. I forget that God is in my corner. And so when we sing songs of worship, I'm reminded of who he is and what he's doing in my life. I want you to go somewhere with me. We're going to play this little game real quick. And the game is called Name That Show. So we're going to play something, and you have to name that show. Oh, you got me? You ready? Y'all don't look too excited about that. Come on. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Okay, we can test. All right. Come on, media team. Can y'all help me real quick, media team? Come on, help me with this real quick. Did you get it? That's CSI. Come on, man. That's CSI. Okay, come on, media. Come on, media. I know you can get this one right here.
Here's the story of a lovely lady.
What's that right there?
Who was bringing up
the Brady Bunch. Come on. I had a crush on one of them girls when I was. That's a whole nother story. Come on. Keep it going, my wife right here. Keep going. Come on now. Who remember Hawaii for? Book 'em, Dano! Now, if you're a Polynesian, you better know that one right there. All right, come on, give me another one. We got another one right here. It's for some of our younger folks in here. What's that one right there? American Idol, there you go. Oh, yeah, all right, okay, all right. Y'all know that one, right? Some of y'all was on American Idol, somebody, anybody? Oh, no, kidding, okay. All right, come on. This is my favorite one right here, Rich. Come on. What's that one right there? Sanford is a, you big dummy! Esther, I'm going to give you one of these. All right, now, I'm going to pull on you now because some of y'all are going to show how mature you are. Play this last one for us real quickly. Come on. Y'all got that's a soap opera. That's right. That's the guiding light right there. My mama and them used to say, hey, y'all be quiet. Go on outside and play. My stories is on. But when you hear these songs and these themes, it takes you back to a moment in time. It takes you, man, you can remember what you were wearing. You can remember what you were doing. Some of us even thought that we were some of the characters in some of these TV shows. I really thought I was in Different Strokes. What you talking about, Willis? And so in that, the same thing happens when we begin to worship and sing songs of God. It takes us to moments where we can remember what God has done. We can remember what God has said about us and over us. That's what worship does. It brings us into a mind of remembrance. And so as we dive into our text today, which is going to be Ephesians 5, 15 through 21. I'm not going to be before you long. I ain't got like a few minutes left on the clock here. Ephesians 5, 15. Would you mind standing as we read God's word? I'm just an old schooler. Ephesians 5, 15 through 21. Would you read it with me? Let's go. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but wise. Everybody say wise. Making the best use of the time because the days are evil. It's some evil times out here right now. Therefore, do not be foolish. Look at somebody say, don't be no fool now. But understand what is the will of the Lord is. Come on, understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is, watch this right here, debauchery. That sound like that should be something wrong, right? Sound like a disease or something. Debauchery. Okay, let me move on. Okay, all right. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. You may take your seats in this place today. Paul begins this text and he's telling us here, hey, there's a way that God is calling you to walk. He says, be wise. Don't be foolish, but understand what is the will of the Lord. What is his will for you? Don't be drunk. Don't get drunk on wine. Don't get drunk on the things of life, because life will come at you and it will consume you and it will intoxicate you. But he's saying, don't get drunk on life here, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know what to say and when to say it. That's why we gather in moments of corporate worship. He says, addressing one another. Addressing one another. Who is the one another? You. Me. Y'all. That's what we say down south. Y'all. Hey, God is trying to call us to a place of gathering together. Pastor Hyden did a beautiful devotional. It's the one anothering. There's so many one anothers in Scripture. Love one another. Pray for one another. Do right by one another. Forgive one another. And Paul is saying in this moment right here, hey, you should be addressing one another. As we gather together, there's a way that we ought to do life with one another when we gather together. My wife says this all the time to the lady folks, because I be sneaking around sometimes. I be just being there, you know, because I tell I'm working. I'm doing something, you know. But she always tells me, no, we don't do none of that mean girl stuff. No. We're going to love one another. We're going to hug one another. We're going to say, how you doing? We're going to kiss somebody's face. Now, and men, don't you look at me. Don't you be kissing on me. I got men right there. But there's a way we ought to address. Paul says there's a way that we ought to address one another. That's what that corporate thing looks like. And so when we do that, it is, we understand that it is the will of God. So my first point I want to give to you, the discipline of worship in song is God's will. The discipline in worship of song is God's will. Watch this right here. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then we drop down to verse number 19, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with our heart. There's an atmosphere of worship that happens. If you want to be in the will of God, worship. Let me say that one more time. If you want to be in the will of God, worship. Somebody say, I want to be in the will of God. I got to go to Mexico. I want to be in the will of God. I got to go to Rob. No. You can stay right where you are. Just worship. Then you're in the will of God, because that's his will, that we would worship him. He created us to do that. The beautiful thing about God is that he's not going to force you to do anything. Psalm 150 says this. Psalm 150 says this. Praise the Lord. I'm gonna say it very dignified now, because I can get a little out of control. My wife tell me that sometimes. So I'm gonna say it very dignified, First Lady. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his might. See, I can't even do that right, because when I talk about praise, I get all indignant and I start acting. Praise him according to his excellent grace. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with the string and pipes. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. You can't talk about praising God and be silent. I get excited when we talk about worship. I get excited when we talk about praising. But I looked at that text a little bit and it says, let everything that have breath. And I realized something, Jordana. A dog has breath. I had a 120-pound pit bull boxer mat, and his breath be hot sometimes. A cat, I don't like cats. Pray for me. I love you, Uncle Smitty. He got this cat today. I'm not even. I don't like cats, but cats have breath. And so as I thought about that, Pastor Eddie, as I thought about that, I said, well, how is a cat or a dog giving praise to God? It says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. They do that by being a dog, by barking, by biting, by running around and chewing on your shoes that they shouldn't have. They're doing dog things. He is saying to God, I'm going to be how you made me, and that's how I'm going to give you praise. My question to you today is, are you doing the same thing? Because God created you to praise him. God created you to worship him. Are you doing that today? Let everything that have praise. Now, I want you to understand this. Now, you got to hear me when I tell you this. Now, you got to hear me this. I'm going to give you this reality statement because this is very important. Everybody can praise, but everybody can't worship. Everybody can praise because praise is contingent upon what you've done for me. If you give me something, I say thank you. But worship is contingent upon who you are. If you don't do nothing else for me, I'm still going to love you. If like the three Hebrew boys, when they got thrown in, said, you know what? Hey, King, we're never going to bow to you. I know that you said if we don't bow to you, you're going to kill us. And I know our God is able. But if he does not bring us out, we're still not going to worship you. We're only going to worship him. There's a level of revelation we get in our heart when we begin to worship that you can't get if you don't have a relationship with him. So let everything that have breath praise the Lord. John 4, 22 and 24 says this. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming. Hold yourself right there, boy. The hour is coming and now is here. Somebody missed that. The hour is coming and now and is now here. When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. Watch this right here. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. Everybody can praise, but everybody can't worship. That worship has to have a connection and a relationship. He says he was talking to the woman who came to the well because she was looking for something. She was in need of something, and what she was in need of was right in front of her, but she didn't really understand that. And so he began to tell her, hey, I know what you're looking for. I'm right in front of you. You've been worshiping at these special places and you're looking for something, but what you're really looking for is right in front of you. God is telling you, in moments of worship, it's revelation that happens in our life. So he says, addressing one another, in Psalms, God will for our life is to sing songs. What kind of songs do we sing? Addressing another brother in Psalm. Now, Psalms in the Greek and Hebrew is psalmum, and the Greek is psalmos, which literally means to pluck an instrument or to move an instrument. So that's why we have the acoustic guitar. That's why I play all these guitars up here. And somebody say, well, do we really need all that? I mean, Pastor Marvin, you got all that buttons and you push it and do you really need it? Yes, I do. Because I want to give God everything that I got. If I got to use a trash can, I will. If I got to use a table, I will. I'm going to use everything that I can to praise my Savior. Because he's given me everything. So as we understand that, the beautiful thing about that is that not only psalm is an instrument, there's a book in your Bible called Psalms. And we get to sing God's word over our lives. There's a song that we got to the opportunity to write. And the thing about it is that as we were with Pastor Hyde, myself, and Vashon, we just was reading through God's word, Psalm 13, just reading through his word. It's like, okay, God, what are you saying? And it was real simple what he was saying. How long will you forget me forever? How long would you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul? Feel like I've lost control. So how long will the enemy exalt over me and sorrow be all that I see? Oh God, will you answer me? Please answer me when I'm sleepy. I still trust you are near me. The beauty of God's word is that when you begin to speak God's word over your life, it brings revelation and understanding that I'm not alone. As David was pinning this right here, he was saying, I'm going through a situation right now, but he understood that I'm not alone. That's why we could write this song right here. So the beautiful thing about it, when the discipline of worship in song is God's will and it's God's word. We sing God's word over our lives. We're not just singing songs. Verse number 19. Come on, Verse number 19. Addressing one another in psalms and in hymns. Oh, I thought I'd get amen with some of my older folks in here when I said hymns. Because hymns are those rich songs that had so much theology and doctrine. They directed our heart towards the Lord and showed us how deprived we are as humans, but how majestic God is. Those hymns are those songs that took us along. Come on, help me out here real quickly. Those songs that we have. Oh, Lord, my God, when I am awesome wonder, consider all the world thy hands have made. I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displays. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. Come on, that song does something to you. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul. Then sings my soul. My Savior God to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. So praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead. Jesus. Those hymns are those songs that draw us back to who God is. They draw us back to a moment in time. They take us to a picture and a place where we can really see who God is. I love to hear songs being sung that give us theology and doctrine. We're not just singing songs to sing them. But some songs, they pull us to understand where we are and where we're not. And then some of those songs, those songs that are birthed in us, you say, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. Come on. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. Then one of the old mothers used to say, let me hear you say yes. 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 And what was happening as they began to sing those old hymns, something was happening on the inside of us. Something was turning, something was being revealed to us that I need him and that I need to surrender who I am to him. The beautiful thing about the discipline of worship in song is that it's his will, it's his word, and watch this right here. It's his work. You don't believe me? Okay, I'm going to show you right now. I'm going to show you right now, because y'all know, some of y'all don't think I'm going to believe me. Go back to verse number 19. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What are spiritual songs? All right, now, I haven't been able to pronounce this word all day. Come on, put it up here for me. Yeah. So Pastor Mike, when you see him, ask him what that says right there. I'm going to just go with the oid at the end. You got me? All right. But what is it? Is spiritual or supernatural composition? There are certain songs that are birthed in us that only the Holy Spirit can do. Some of the songs that we sing, hey, I want you to tell you something. Pastor Marvin has written over 200 songs, and it wasn't Pastor Marvin that written that, nary one of them. The Holy Spirit that was dwelling within me would birth something in me, and my pen would begin to move, and my heart would begin to turn. Why? Because as I'm in fellowship with my brothers and sisters, that's why we sing songs, because when we sing God, it's the work of God that's inside of us. Some of y'all came in here today, and you know you jacked up. Some of y'all mad with your husband right now, mad with your wife right now. Some of y'all couldn't wait to get your kids over to 412. Come on here, get your coat. You ain't got no shoes on. Get on in here. They're yours now, First Lady Nina. I ain't never seen so many kids without shoes. Why? Because y'all trying to get it, because they on my nerves right now. But when you come and there's so much that's happening, life is lifing. You get a doctor's report and it's not what you want. Somebody says something to you and it crossed you in the ground. But when I come in here in the corporate setting and I lift my hands before God and I begin to sing, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Something happens on the inside and something stirs up and it changes my heart. Worship tills the soil for the message to be able to land on fertile ground. That's one thing about a pastor. He knows, he may not know a lot about worship, but every pastor knows when worship is good and when worship is bad. Because when they stand to share God's word, it becomes a big pull if the worship didn't set the atmosphere for the people's heart to be ready. That's why you come in here. You don't wait there. You got 2 minutes before the message come in. Then you're strolling with your donuts and your coffee. And now I'm ready to hear the word of the Lord. No, you missed it. You should have been here right at 8:30, right at 10 o'clock, right at 11:30. Why? Because worship is what you're giving to God. Sit on down here, girl. You can make me... Make me get excited in this place here. The discipline of worship, it is God's will. It is God's work. It is God's word. Colossians 3:16 says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. You want some wisdom? I'm going to give you some wisdom right now. Singing psalm, there it is again. And hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. There should be a joy on the inside of you when you're coming here to sing songs with the Lord. When we gather, we just don't gather just to be doing something. I'm for sure all y'all got something else that y'all could be doing right now. It's Super Bowl Sunday. But you understand, when I come in here and I can give God what's on my heart, then I know God can meet me at the place that I am. See, this is what worship, I'm going to give this to you, and you know, this is no charge to you. I promise I won't charge you. Well, I'm going to charge you much for it. Hear me when I tell you this. You don't always need a miracle. Sometimes you just need a memory. You just need to remember, if God brought me out over here, I know he can bring me out here. If God healed me before, I know he can. And I remember that. How I remember that is when I begin to sing those rich psalms and those hymns and those spiritual songs, I begin to declare them. And even when I can't hear, I can hear my brother Marcus saying, I need the oh, I need. Something happens on the inside, because I can't sing to you right now, God. My heart is broken for you. But when I hear my sister saying, I need thee. Something stirs up on the inside of me. That's why we gather in corporate worship. And then finally, because I got to get out of here. Come on, Marvin, you got to get out of here. Let this thing go. This is my last point I want to show you. The discipline of worship is God's will, it's God's word, it's God's work, and it's God's way. Go with me to Zephaniah 3:17. Come on, Uncle Mano. Come on, help me out. They got to get me off the stage here, Uncle Mano. Come on, help me out here. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. Watch this right here. He will quiet you by his love. There's some things that are roaring in your life, and only God can quiet them. But watch how he quiets them. Watch this right here. Papa Radner, I love this right here. Watch this right here. He says, he will exalt over you with what? Now, he says he's going to quiet me with his love. He's going to quiet me by singing over me loud. So now, so I know some of y'all looking like, Pastor Marvin, do you got to yell like that? Yes. I'm being like God. Na 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 boo boo. He says he exalted over you with loud singing. God is singing over you. How awesome is that? That the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is singing over you. So why wouldn't I sing to him? Why wouldn't I give back to him what he is giving to me? That's what worship means. Worship is not for you, it's for him. But you benefit from worshiping, because when you go to God in moments of worship, he heals, he restores, he wants to do something in you. So I know the doctor done told you, this is your report. But I come to tell you, just worship. I know that spouse has laid some papers on the table and walked towards that door. But I'm going to tell you today, just worship. I know that that child that you've been praying for, they've gone back to that addiction, and they've gone back and they've gone back. And you say, God, what's going on? I'm coming to you. Continue to worship. Because in our moments of worship, God wants to reveal some things to you that he is in control and you're not. That's why we sing. That's why we lift our hands. Because when we lift our hands, it's a sign of surrenderance. Somebody put a gun up to you and say, put them up. What are you saying to him? I surrender. You can have whatever I got. But when we do like this to God, he says, God, I surrender. And then we go from here to here. Because in moments like this right here, I can receive what he is trying to give me. My time is up. Come on, Marvin, you got to go. But this is for somebody in this place today. You keep coming in these doors and you got your hands like this right here. You got them balled up. You say, God, I'm mad with you because you didn't do this. And I thought you said you was going to do this and you didn't do this. But in those moments when you can open your hand, he can take some things out and can give you some things. That's why we worship, because it changes the atmosphere on the inside. God, we just want to worship you. That's why we gather corporately. But the text also told us, it says that, you know, y'all got to make some melodies in your heart. That's a you thing. Who's the you? You. Everybody say you. You. He's telling you to do it. You can't blame it on somebody else. Oh, ain't nobody with it. No. That's like the guy that was at the pool. He's like, hey, nobody's going to put me in the water every time I get ready to go. No, you got to do something. You got to put your time in. You got to raise your hand. You got to say, God, I'm here. And when we bring that collectively together, God does something beautiful in the hearts of his people. That's what the discipline of worship and song is about. God reveals to us who he is, and he moves. I'm closing. Come on, worship team. Come on. I got to get out of here. I'm way over my time. They ain't going to invite me back. I want to tell you something. For some of you, you can't worship because you don't have a relationship. You can praise. Oh, I can thank you, God, and thank you. But you can't worship. So when you're going through something, you don't know what to do because you can't worship, because you don't have a relationship. But today, if you want that relationship today, You said, I don't know him, but Pastor Marvin, I want to be able to worship like you're talking about. I want to be able to sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. I want to make melodies in my heart. I want to connect with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want that thing that you're talking about today. God wants to give that to you. And you know what it is? That's him. He wants to give you him today. So if you don't know him today, if you've never accepted him into your heart today, I would that you would pray this prayer with me. Father, forgive me. I am broken and I need you. God, would you help me? I want to sing to you. I want to worship you, but I don't have a relationship. So I'm asking you to come into my life, come into my heart, and be my Lord and Savior. Help me to love you as you love me. In Jesus' name, amen.